welcome to Killer Cross Space. This is episode 23, and it's part 2 of the Mary Lands case. As I promised, I would release this the next day after I released episode 22, where I talked to the private investigator, Jim. This episode, I have a phone conversation with a gentleman named Jamie. He's been like on quite a few searches and stuff throughout the whole time that Mary's been missing and everything, and it's a very interesting conversation. And this case, from talking to Jamie and stuff, it seems like it goes pretty deep, and you know, hopefully they'll be able to find her. But thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the interview.
Good morning.
Hey, Jamie. This is Bruce.
Hey, how you doing, Bruce?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, I just finished listening to your episode you done on the Mary Lands case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started it the other day and finally got a chance to finish it today. I was interested more with the trophy box and stuff you mentioned that I guess Chris had.
The what? Oh, the trophy box?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Jim probably could tell you more about that because he was working on that at the time. But from what I remember, when the four felonies came down, that he was involved with Noreen Parker. Mm-hmm. When that all happened, I think they went through the house and they found some, I believe they found some poison. And I know that his three last girlfriends had symptoms of being poisoned at one time. So I do recall something about that. Then I recall Noreen has told me several times that he had a bedroom, or he had a room, and it had a lock on it. Nobody was allowed in that room whatsoever. It was kind of his trophy room. There is a video on YouTube of mm-hmm. Some of the things they found in that room. And you'll see Mary's mother, if you punch it up, you'll see Mary's mother, Anita, sitting there, and she's describing the jewelry that Jim is giving to her, which is some of the jewelry that was known to be with Mary at the time. Mm-hmm. So Chris, he was a strange character. He liked to be in control. One of the things he liked to do was go to Nita's work in Marshall on Mother's Day and give her different little things of Mary's. I don't know. He just wanted to have that control. It's just
that is
weird. He always, what's that?
So that is weird that giving her stuff mm-hmm. of Mary's on to her own mother on Mother's Day.
Yeah, I believe on that one of the last things that he gave her on Mother's Day was a known document that was folded up and put in her purse. And she never took it out of her purse. It was her birth certificate, I believe what it was. And it was kind of folded up. And, mm-hmm. She just walked away. She had everything with her. How did he come in contact with, how did he get this?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if Jim told you about the bomber jacket or not.
Yeah, he mentioned that it was, where he was trying to sell some of her stuff to at like a flea market or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'd be the same jacket she was supposedly last seen wearing.
Sure. According to him and the picture, the last video of her at Warman's, she had it on at that time with her SpongeBob pants and things. So now on that video, on the podcast you listened to of ours, Shannon was the founder of Missing Youth Foundation, and she was on, she was there on Monday. I think Mary came up missing on Friday night. Shannon was there on Monday. She was at the apartment. Chris was kind of showing her around. He took a really good liking to Shannon. Shannon's a pretty girl. And he really took a liking to Shannon. He was trying to take things off the wall and give them to Shannon. And, we found that odd. Yeah, we found that pretty odd. Strange. Giving Mary's things away. And one of the things too that I always thought about, if we do ever find Mary, I believe that we will find the comforter that her daughter gave her from California. I guess when they went in that week or shortly after, they were wondering where her comforter was. It was like, it was gold to Mary. It was like her the best thing, you know, the biggest thing in her life that her daughter had given her, you know, and she really, you know, that was like her thing. So, mm-hmm. And have that, you know, just be missing, where did it go? And so that was kind of a big deal there too. But the whole thing just, it was just a screwed up case because they didn't really even do anything until a year after all of this. They even go into the apartment to do any kind of forensic things or anything, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's weird taking a year. Like, when did you become involved in? You're from the area, right?
Yeah, I just live, I don't know, probably about 12 miles away.
Okay, yeah. So you just kind of, yeah. You're local to it. You just kind of got into it back when it all happened, or did it take?
Yeah, it was shortly after. I didn't even know that. I did know that there was a local girl missing. Mm-hmm. I knew who her father and mother was because it was a local bar they owned here where I live. And I had been out there several times, so I knew who they were. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen Mary around there and at another restaurant here. I didn't really know her, but just knew who she was. And but shortly after that, they were asking for volunteers for a search, and I got involved in the search. And I just really enjoyed going out and doing that. So I joined the group, and we've done, I don't know how many searches for Mary, just dozens and dozens of searches for Mary with that group. So that's kind of how I got involved.
Okay. Like, are those searches, like, are they searches of places that people's like mentioned, or just areas that, you know, of that area that people would probably be like, hey, you know, if somebody's going to hide, you know, a body or something, they're going to do it out here.
Right. Kind of thing. Well, we did a lot of things as far as like where Pratt's favorite hunting places were, fishing places, tips from just individuals just throwing tips out there. You might want to check here. We checked, you know, just about every tip that came in. We would go and take the dog out and check it out. One of the places of interest was F Drive and 24 Mile Road. I don't know if Jim mentioned that, but there's a video of them digging out there in that swamp. I still believe that needs to be checked out further. And at one time I had talked to the prosecutor, the Calhoun County prosecutor, David Gilbert, and he had mentioned maybe hopefully someday draining that swamp. So I just mentioned it to him again the other day to see where he's at on that. But I know they've had a lot of people looking into this case recently. From what I understand, they had a couple detectives that were retired that came from Florida or something. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Kind of heard that. So I think they're actively looking still into, you know, into this. So I just hope one day that we're going to find that one person that, you know, is just going to give it all up.
Yeah, hopefully. I know, I don't know. He was talking about like mm-hmm. five or six people or something might know where she's at.
Jim said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would assume there's probably about that many people, and I could probably tell you who they all are. I would say at least, even probably more now, because once you tell somebody, somebody's going to tell somebody. So, I mean, originally, I would say probably half a dozen people probably know.
Is it like a small town? Or mm-hmm. So it is a small town?
Yeah, it's a fairly small town. Marshall, I really don't know how many people are in Marshall. I live in Albion, right next to Marshall, and our little town's got like 7,000 people, and Marshall's probably another half the size of that. So, yeah, so I would say maybe, you know, 15,000-20,000 people, maybe. I mean, it's not a real big town.
Okay, so yeah, but if a rumor, you know, somebody said something, it's going to get passed around.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it gets around Marshall. If somebody says something, it usually gets around pretty quick. It doesn't take too long, especially with social media nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't take too long for something to go around. But Jim has always maintained that if and when we do find Mary, she'll be within the 10-mile radius of the circle. It's called the fountain in Marshall. And I kind of do believe that. So, I mean, I think that she's going to be found within that circle somewhere. We just have to find the right place.
Yeah, that is, you would think, though, eventually, because I'm sure it would have to, you know, wear on their mind, you know, knowing that they know where she's at and, you know, people are still actively searching for her and trying to figure out all what happened. But I know Chris has been the suspect for pretty much all of this, mm-hmm. or have there been other mm-hmm. people that's been suspected of possibly being involved?
There's probably other people. I mean, there's probably other people of interest they want to talk to, or they did talk to her or anything. But I believe my opinion is that 100% she didn't leave that house that night alive. And I believe that Chris went into a rage and just, you know, whatever happened. But I believe definitely that Chris was the one that made that happen. There might have been more involved as far as helping with the aftermath, but mm-hmm. I think Chris is the one that's involved in that whole idea, the whole thing, and not idea, but the whole thing. I think he just snapped. He's a kind of a violent type. If you can look into some of his past relationships and things like that, and the record of Mary, always had, you know, bruises, and I think he broke her hand at one time, and just different things that he's done.
So you're kind of thinking that maybe he got in a fight. Because I know it's what Jim was saying, that mm-hmm. he thinks that she never left the apartment like he claims alive, mm-hmm. you know. That so basically they got into an argument, he might have took something a little too far and accidentally killed her, basically.
That's kind of what I think. I think it was probably a domestic that just went farther than the, you know, previous ones. I think I was reading at one time, one of his things he liked to do, because he's a really big guy. Mm-hmm. He liked to bear hug, like, you know, he would just squeeze the heck out of it and things. And I think his previous girlfriend as well, but he's a pretty big guy, and you know, it just, in my heart, I believe that's what happened. I believe they got into an argument and a fight about something, and that's what kind of happened after. So
I know they were saying, like, if that happened, because where he didn't call her family until like 44 hours after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So that would hide her or something.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It was 40 some hours afterward. Her parents in California got the phone call. He had asked them, "Have you seen Mary? I can't find Mary," or something like that. And, then I guess they decided to pack up and come back to Michigan. And, they were here shortly after that, I believe. But yeah, she wasn't reported to anyone for 40 some hours.
That is a pretty, because they said something about her brother or something reported it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think her brother was looking for her, or, you know, mm-hmm. she hadn't seen her around or hadn't heard from her or something. So, yeah, I don't remember exactly how that all came down, but I believe it was her brother Mike, maybe, that was concerned. That was concerned about her, so. But Chris is still around. We see him all the time. He likes to go. My sister has a tire shop here in Albany. He just lives down the road from the tire shop, and he likes to go there a lot to find out if there's any new information or anything. And I try to make him not sleep good every night.
Yeah.
just you know, keeping the things alive. And you know, sometimes I'll go and say things like, you know, "Hey, there's a new detective on the case today. They're just bringing him in from somewhere." And you just see his facial expression. I mean, at one point, I forgot what I said, but he turned white as a ghost, and he just looked at the ground and took off, and he didn't even say a word. He just, like, he got out of there, and usually he only stayed for, like, 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so. But he just kind of looked, his face turned beet white, or just white, and he just looked down on the ground and just took off.
like I was telling Jim, we got a, like, I'm not really, like, a private investigator or anything, but there's a local case that happened going on 16 years, and I've been talking to the guy for about 4 years. Well, there's time I didn't talk to him for a little bit, but they kidnapped a girl, and they never found her body, but they killed another lady in South Carolina. Well, her body was eventually found by him. You know, he helped, you know, lead them to her in 2009, but Samantha Byrne, they still hadn't found. So, like, which 2002, like with the Mary's case, you know, 2004, like social media still wasn't that big.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're kind of just trying to figure out where she's at, because both of them say something different. So, like, I can understand, especially, like I said, where a lot of people kind of, where it's been so long, not a lot of people talk anymore, it seems like, about it. Which, I don't know, you might have seen it last July. There's a thing came out of Ohio with the Jimmy Heisel. I know it was blown up, like, all over the place down here.
Mm-hmm.
But he was claiming, you know, that Samantha Burns was buried in his, wife or girlfriend, whatever, at the time. Like, it blew up. You know, nothing really came out of it. But the positive thing was, it got, you know, people talking about the case again.
Sure.
And, you know, hopefully gather new information, people start talking again. Because, yeah, long time, you know, people usually, the story will, they'll still have the key points, but, you know, a lot of it will change, though, too. And, like, in Mary's case, you know, it's a little over 14 years. You know, people's memory might, you know, lack and all that, and in that perspective. But hopefully, you're still thinking, you know, if somebody's got information, they can at least say the general area where her body's at. But you're still thinking the swamp area is a really good place to check out still?
Yeah, I think my press gonna do something again here when the weather turns a little bit nicer. The swamp is kind of it's kind of large area, and where Jim and those guys are digging at, I think they were way over too far to the right. I think that we're going to be looking more over to the left. The reason that area is hot is because that was one of Chris's friends that lived there at the time. There was a trailer there, and it was kind of a big mess hangout. And so it makes sense that it's real close to his property. Some of the six that were talking about just a little bit ago, he would have been one of those six. So I kind of believe I've done a lot of research as far as, like, the March, the almanac in March in 2004, and what the weather was like, and you know, was it froze up at the time and things like that. But one of the things that stood out to me too was, at one time when you went out there, into right where the swamp is right there, there was, like, some planks that you could walk on. Mm-hmm. I believe it was even 4x8 sheets of plywood or something that you could actually walk out and then, you know, be out into the swamp a little farther without actually going into the swamp. And that kind of surprised me that those were, like, laying there. So showed a lot of interest there. A lot of interest.
Has the area changed a lot since, you know?
No, it's still basically the same. The trailer's not there anymore. They dug that up. They dug a hole and pushed it into the hole, and it's all covered up now. But all the area is still right there. I still drive by there quite frequently. I just drive by. I don't know.
Like, how far is it from the main road? Is it really far off?
No, you can see it. You can see it right from the road. There's a crossroad, 24.5 drive, and it's right up. Right, there's a huge, huge old farmhouse right there, and it's right next to the farmhouse. But yeah, you can see it from the road. I can send you some pictures of it.
Okay.
I have pictures, and Like I said, our dog showed a ton of interest out there in that swamp on that side. So it's quite an interesting place for me anyway. And I believe at one time, Chris, I don't know if it was myself out there searching, but there were searchers out there. And Chris had rolled by and said, "You guys are in the wrong spot, or you're not even close," or something like that. But yeah, he used to like to watch and see what's going on. And I know he was involved for the first. Now Shannon again. Shannon would be a good one to talk to because Shannon was there the whole time in the beginning when she was running the search. And I know Chris hung out with her for that mostly that whole week. And the thing that was kind of weird was I heard through the grapevine that there was two people at the house that night, and one of the people was Adel Pratt. And I don't know if Jim told you about him, but there was a girl there, supposedly was like Chris's girlfriend, and Mary came home and got kind of pissed off. Maybe that's what the fight was about. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this girl, as Shannon tells, was there with Chris for the searches, like in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who this girl is. She could tell you what her name was, but I've never talked to her. But I think that would be something that the detectives and investigators need to find out who this girl is, you know. I know Adam wouldn't talk. That's Chris's cousin. Adam is Chris's cousin. He, mm-hmm. He'll probably never talk, but...
Yeah, being family, yeah.
I know he was afraid of me. What's that?
Said with him being family, I doubt he ever would.
Yeah, he's pretty afraid of Chris, I think. There was a thing that Shannon can tell you about the search, too, where him and Adam and somebody else was in the car, and... I guess he got freaked out. Adam got freaked out about maybe being recorded or something. He threw his cell phone out the window so nobody could, you know, he wouldn't have no device on him or something. I don't know. And Shannon has all that information. But, yeah, a lot of stuff happened that first week.
So you said Chris basically helped out the first week on the searches?
Yeah, I don't think he lasted too much after that. Mm-hmm. I think he got bored with going out and things, so he didn't really do too much after that. But he was at the vigil. We have pictures of that too. But after that first week, I don't think that he did a whole lot to look for Mary.
Yeah, I was trying to think too. They were. I remember on that you guys were talking about, was the Durango her vehicle or his?
That was her vehicle.
Okay, it was her vehicle. So mm-hmm. So it basically, what was it ever searched or they just took it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they did with this vehicle. It was a nice vehicle. They confiscated it and put it in a scrapyard, or not a scrapyard, but a wrecking yard over in Marshall. Mm-hmm. The tires were taken off of it, and it wasn't fenced in. Anybody could come and go, so whatever evidence was in it, you know, was contaminated at that point. So I don't even know why they took the car. And Mary's mother and father tried to get that vehicle for years and years and years, and they still can't get it to this day. We don't even know where it's at right now. Hmm. I don't know what they did with the car, but it was owed on. She was paying payments on it, and you know, Mary's mother and father wanted the vehicle, and they wouldn't release it to them. So I don't think they know where it's at right now. Somebody told me, though, it seems like maybe 5 or 6 months ago, they told me they could tell me where it was at, but it wasn't any importance to me, so I didn't even ask. But I'm sure I could find out where the car is now. But
like, do you think it was involved in maybe anything related to her, like, maybe he used it or anything to put her body in or anything? If, you know, he did, like I said, everything seeming that he might have killed her at the apartment, do you think that he might use the Durango to move her?
Yeah, you know, that's always, I think it was speculated back then that they looked at the vehicle and there was like corn stalks or something hanging out from underneath the front of the vehicle or something like that. But again, I wasn't really involved too much right in the beginning. But I do recall that, and then they confiscated the vehicle shortly after that. I talked to a friend of mine who's a retired Collin County police officer, and he was kind of involved in a few of the, maybe the first couple weeks or maybe the first couple months or something. But he told me that in his opinion, he believes that Chris put her in a dumpster, and she's at the local reef, wherever they do the dumping at over there. And I think it's in Turkeyville, close to Marshall. He said that's, if he had to put money on it, that's where he said she was probably at. So, that was his opinion at the time. Not really sure. So many speculations.
yeah, that's the only thing. Like with the searches and stuff, have they ever found anything that supposedly she had that night besides, I know Chris was trying to give away stuff that he said she was in, but has there been anything that was ever found in any of the searches that might have been hers?
I do believe we have paperwork. I'd have to go to over to Sue's house and find the paperwork, but we got documents throughout the whole case. Marshall PD confiscated everything we had, but luckily we were smart enough to make copies. So there was some stuff from she had went tanning that day, and there was some stuff that was found on like our drive or something like that. That was believed to be Mary's from that day. Not sure where that ever ended up at. Not sure if it went to the into evidence or what. But I'd have to look into that to see exactly what was found. Thought there was some jewelry, maybe a card from the tanner. Do you remember anything else about that? No, I can't remember what was found. But other than that, really nothing was found on any of our searches as far as material items. Jim did do a search of a basement when they lived on, I think, 24 Mile Road. And he found some stuff that Anita said could be Mary's in the basement of that house where Chris had lived. And I can send you that video as well. You can see the items that were found.
So this was a house he lived in after all this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think. With him being, possibly, when did they kind of, expect? I know you said they didn't really start really taking it serious about a year after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when they actually kind of figured that, hey, there might be, foul play involved or?
Yeah, it really wasn't a big thing for, a missing woman, you would think that would be huge, huge news and things like that. I don't really think that Marshall Police Department ever really took it very serious. They would follow up on some leads and things like that, but I really don't think they were more interested in arresting Cliff and Anita for things instead of doing his job. I'm not sure if Jim told you about that part of it or not. But the mother and father.
They say sometimes when an adult goes missing, even though the family says they're missing, the cops would be like, they're an adult, they can do whatever they want, they can come and go as they please.
Exactly.
So
mm-hmm.
But what were you saying though, they were arrested?
I believe that that was the case with Mary, and from what I remember, Chris had some ties to some judges and things in Marshall, and so there was some weight being thrown around there. At one point, the apartment manager, either they got a hold of the apartment manager, or the apartment manager got a hold of them and said, Chris is gone, he no longer lives here, whatever. You can come up to the apartment and get some of Mary's things or whatever's here. And they went there with the permission of the manager. And I think it was later that day or the next day, they were at some kind of a town hall meeting, and the police officers wanted to talk to them, and they filed a complaint the next day, and they had to come down, and they read their Miranda rights, and for going to, which Chris said that they broke into the house or something. I don't remember. It's the documents, I think, are on Jim's page, the Disappearance of Mary Lands. Mm-hmm. But they were more interested in, arresting their, Mary's parents instead of, looking into other things. So that was kind of strange, too.
Yeah, that is really, really strange.
But this whole case has just been really strange.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it.
I know that they
have read on it.
Yeah.
Heard and stuff on it.
Right. I remember, when I first started getting into it, and I was paying attention to the blogs and things like that, and a couple people came forward, and Jim had taken them to a location and to interview them. And shortly after the interview, he would download it on YouTube. And I know it scared several people away, and the people that did know stuff after that didn't want to talk. And the people that talked then didn't want to talk anymore because they were just all afraid of Pratt. So that kind of screwed a lot of things up in the beginning, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I know that kind of plays a factor a lot in stuff, because if somebody's afraid of the person and they know they're going to publicly be put out there, they're going to be like, well, I don't want, the target mm-hmm. on me. But I got a weird question.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever, well, it's not really a weird question, but has there ever been a report that you've heard of since you disappeared? Because I know they presumed her dead in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
But between the time they presumed her dead to when she disappeared, has anybody ever reported of actually seeing her out and about somewhere? Like whether it be, different county, state, or anything like that?
I had never heard of any sightings ever anywhere. Or I believe maybe somebody called in a tip or something that said that she was in Georgia or something. But I think that I could have been his family or something. That was, maybe a year after or something. But just to throw, and that might have even been somebody put it on the blog or something. I don't remember where that came from, but there was never any since that night at Waterman's, never any sighting of Mary since that night.
I knew she had, what are you talking about? She's only have one kid, the daughter.
Mary had, I'm not sure how many kids Mary had. Do you know?
Well,
I'd say yeah, I'm
two,
not sure. Other than her daughter in California. I know her daughter in California. But I think, I don't think she had any other ones. Yeah, I really don't think so. Stacy, yeah.
Yeah, either way, though, I'd still say, 14 years, I'm sure she could. That's what I don't understand with a lot of things. When people do go missing, and like I said, what we were talking about just a few minutes ago, where they well, they're adult, they can come and go. But when they leave family mm-hmm. behind, like children, I'm sure, she'd be, grandmother now, and
mm-hmm.
her parents and stuff. I just couldn't walk away and be like, well, I'm not talking to mm-hmm. these people ever again. That's her blood family.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think she'd pop up somewhere if she was alive and say,
sure.
call somebody and say, hey,
although I've heard cases like that,
mm-hmm.
Where somebody just had enough and they just walk away. In Mary's case, I don't see her doing that. Mary was very, very close to her daughter, very, very close to her mother and father and, brother, and her family meant a lot. So, just for her just to leave and not tell anybody anything or not even say anything after all this time, it's just not mm-hmm. possible whatsoever. It's just.
Yeah, from everything I've gathered, it seems like she was very, like you said, really close to everybody. Because mm-hmm. they were saying she was supposed to be mm-hmm. going out to California right before all this happened, too.
Right,
lived out there. So.
Well, Chris's own admission, you can't have it both ways, Chris Pratt. He either this is what happened is you told everybody. I mean, the first week you told Michigan State Police, you told Calhoun County Police, you told Marshall Police, you told everybody that would listen. She walked away with her brown bomber jacket. She walked away with her. She had her SpongeBob SquarePants on, her scrubs on. That is the last I seen of my fiance. I know what she had on. So 3 months later, he's at a flea market trying to sell the bomber jacket. I mean, that alone, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's kind of...
You know, how can you explain that one away? I mean, you know, did she just bring the jacket back and then walk away?
Yeah, it just don't make sense at all.
No. I don't know. I mean, here in Michigan, Michigan has a law where you can actually be tried for circumstantial evidence. You don't have to have a body. Mm-hmm. But we just haven't had a prosecutor that wanted to take that case on, you know.
Yeah.
Right now, to me, why not? 14 years later, they already declared her dead. They're going to have a memorial place for her somewhere. They're doing right now. I would say, you know what? Let's kick the football. I know that if we don't get him, that we're not going to be able to try him again, but we got a lot of stuff, I believe. I believe we got a lot of stuff that 12 jurors would find pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in my opinion is, man, let's just do it. But you're not a prosecutor wants wins. He don't want losses. So if he feels that, you know, going to be against him, then especially during election years, yeah, not going to go for it. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's rough kind of how the legal system works sometimes with all this.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that's about all I think I need at the time. And
okay.
I'll go ahead and wrap this up if you don't mind, and I gotta get back to work.
All right, sounds great.
All right, but thank you for talking with me, though.
All right, I'll send you some stuff too. I'll send you some videos and some other things that I got, and
right,
pictures of the swamp and stuff. So
right,
you have that. All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.